Thank you, Grace. And welcome here to everyone who has come. For those of you who are wondering, where is everybody else? They stayed home today, and they are going to listen on their computers because we are not allowed to have more than 30 people in this sanctuary. So I invited those who have computers to stay home, while those who do not listen on the computer could have access to the service in person. So for those of you who are at home listening to this service, you are very welcome, you are remembered. And just in case you are wondering, we have about 12 people here.
Just to let you know that we weren't able to set up that live streaming yesterday. It just didn't come through, so it'll have to be online on the website.
Thank you, Ike. That was Ike from the back of the church. We are working on live streaming, yes, and we'll still work on it. But for those who are thinking, maybe I would like to be one of the 30 who come to the sanctuary, there is still room. There is room at this inn for about 15, 16, 17 more people. So for today, we are going to pretend that everyone is here. And everyone who is here, I'm happy to see you here. We're going to have to sing well. Or not at all. That's probably what you're thinking. Well, we always start with singing. And because it's the beginning of Advent, we are singing with those songs in mind. So let's begin with Hymnal of Worship Book number 184. Number 184 is Hark the Glad Sound. We're singing only verses 1 and 2. I chose that one as our gathering song because it speaks about the Savior promised long and invites us to prepare a place. And that's the theme of this morning, preparing and being ready for the one who comes. I'd like to introduce the theme of our Advent this year. As you can see, as you look around, there's something different here at the front. This black runner that goes up the center signifies a road. And so the road is us traveling this direction, and we are traveling, and you see the silhouette there, traveling together with Joseph, Mary, and expecting the baby Jesus. All of Advent is movement on this road. That's what we are thinking about throughout this month until Christmas. On this road, that we are traveling. And we see that there are trees and stumps and pine cones. Pine cones and branches, and they are all alongside the route as we continue to walk this road. So bear that in mind from Sunday to Sunday. This Sunday is the first of the stages in the road, and it is readiness on this road. I'd like to read a short litany about our journey on this road. In each heart lies a Bethlehem, an inn where we must ultimately answer whether there is room or not. When we are Bethlehem bound, we experience our own advent in His. When we are Bethlehem bound, we can no longer look the other way, conveniently not seeing the stars, nor hearing the angel voices. We can no longer excuse ourselves by busily tending our sheep or our kingdoms. This Advent, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. In the midst of our shopping, let's ponder in our hearts the gift of gifts. Through the tinsel and all of the decorations, let's look for the gold of the Christmas star. In the excitement and confusion and chaos, let's listen for the brush of angels' wings. This Advent, let's go to Bethlehem and find our kneeling places. In the bulletin, you see a focus statement right underneath the big title there that says Readiness on This Road. What does readiness look like? How might we prepare ourselves to receive the one sent to save us? May our heart's desire be to make space to receive the gift God has sent. And I'll light the first Advent candle. Please read with me the call to worship. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Do not remember our iniquity forever. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Let's pray together. Come to us, startling God. Wake us from our ease. Stir up our hunger for justice. Cast out our fear. Open our eyes. Open our ways to your ways. Lead us down the paths of mercy and peace. Come to us, dazzling God. Renew us with your love. Tend our wounds with your wounds. Span the poverty of our failures and betrayal with the abundance of your grace. Come to us, living God, ever ancient, ever new. Meet us in our sufficiency and our greed. Feed us with your compassion. May your vulnerability call forth our trust. Come to us, disturbing God, in our streets, in the lonely places, in the palaces of power, and among those without homes, to restore, revive, and disrupt, to comfort and convert. O come, Emmanuel. Amen. I'd invite you to open your hymn books again. Our second song is number 182. The only difference being that the title is not what the title says in the bulletin. We're going to sing, "Oh, How Shall I Receive Thee?" 182, and we'll sing verse 1 and 2 again. I'd invite you to stand. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country. We thank you that you have called us to be your children, and circumstances may change, but you do not. You are as faithful now as you were last year or 100 years ago or since the beginning of time. And we know that we can count on you. We can trust you. That's why we have come to worship in our various spaces. We come, we bring ourselves, we bring our hearts. And as we have brought our offerings, we now dedicate them to you, to your use, and we ask for wisdom. Show us how to use what you have granted to us. Help us to be generous and open-handed, not clutching or clinging to anything, because we know that you care for us. Help us to care for others, just like we heard right here last Sunday, that helping the poor, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, this is simply what we do. Give us courage and determination to continue to do that, recognizing we do this all in the name of Christ. Thank you for all of those gathered here. Thank you for hearing our prayers for so many others, unvoiced, but those that we have prayed for healing, we've prayed for safety, we've prayed for so many things, and you have heard us. We pray again for the COVID situation. We pray that the doctors would have strength and stamina, not only the doctors, but the nurses and all of the varieties of caregivers. Help them. We know they are tired. Give them strength, give them courage, give them insight to heal the sick. You are the healer, and we pray for healing for those who are coming down with this dreaded disease. Give the governments and the lines of distribution, help them to know who to give the vaccines to, how to give them, how to share. And while we wait, give us patience and trust in you. Help us to know how to behave in this waiting time as well. We pray for the other churches in Swift Current, also meeting on a very limited attendance. We pray you would encourage First United Church and Laird Mennonite Church. We pray for their leaders. Give them wisdom and courage and strength as they continue to tend your flock. We are all your people, and we all need encouragement. Help us to remember that we don't have to wait for someone else only to encourage us, but that we can lift up the phone, call someone. Remind us that we are your hands and feet, your voice, to reach out to those around us. Help us to know how to behave in these days, in these times, that we would continue to be a witness for you. And we pray with the simplicity that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to make one announcement. I wasn't sure where I should put this one, but for recording and streaming and all of that sake, I am saying that permission to podcast copyrighted material in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved. And you see there in the scripture readings, there are four scripture readings. However, I am not going to read all four of those. In fact, I am not even going to start with the scripture readings. Those are Advent 1 scriptures, and I'm going to use three of them in my sermon. And so I will use the readings and read them as we go. I'm going to start with Isaiah. Then second, I'll go to Mark, and third, I'll go to 1 Corinthians. The Psalm 1, you can read on your own and see how that goes together with the other three. But for the moment, I'm going to just leap right into the message portion of readiness on this road. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, everyone knows that Christmas is a time for surprises, right? And each of you came into church this morning, and perhaps you were surprised. By a show of hands, how many of you were surprised by one thing or another when you came into the church today? I see one, two, oh yes, almost everyone was surprised in one way or another when they came into church. I won't ask you what it was that surprised you. Some of you are probably thinking, well, how few people there are here. Don't worry. Next Sunday, I think a few more people will come. But we will see, we'll wait and see, and we know that they're like, you know the Hebrews chapter 12, I think it's the chapter 12 passage, where it says, such a great cloud of witnesses? Well, now we can just imagine the great cloud of witnesses that are here in Swift Current, that are on their computers, that will listen to this service later on in the week. We are still all gathered together. But that's not the only surprise. I have another surprise for you. And I put this down on my notes and I thought, no, I shouldn't do it because we're so busy. We're very concerned with, you know, COVID and what's happening and all of these things. It's a serious time. But then I was disappointed. So I thought, yes, I'm still going to do this. Since this is the first Sunday, and we're talking about preparation and readiness, how to get ready for Christmas, how to prepare for the coming of the Christ child, I thought to myself, how do I get ready? And so you ask yourself, well, what do you do to get ready? And the obvious answer is, well, that depends what you're getting ready for. Isn't that true? Because preparations look different depending on what you are preparing for. So I've got a tiny little exercise here for you. And those of you who are here can see what I'm going to show you. The others will only have to imagine. I'll start with this because it's in my way here. It's right by my foot. So I've just put up my little purple lawn chair, for those who are not watching, and I've got here a pair of sunglasses, because you need those when you're preparing, and I've got a sign that determines what I am preparing for here. I'm sure you'll be able to tell me, but just in case it's a little too subtle, you'll let me know. So we've got a lawn chair, we've got sunglasses. What have I got here? Can you recognize this? Oh, you know what? This still smells like sand from the landing. Oh, that's the smell of summer. I hope you're smiling behind your masks. Can you recognize what this is? A beach towel, very good. One more thing. Sunscreen, yes, it's number 30. It's still totally full. There we have it. I'm all ready, all prepared. What am I prepared for? Anyone? The sun? Another, anyone else? What else am I prepared for? Go swimming, go to the beach, go somewhere outside. Oh no, you're all wrong. You're all wrong, everyone. The sign says, I am ready for high school graduation ceremony. There I am, ready. Okay, well, we didn't do so good with that one. Here, let's try another one. This one might be easier. This thing has been clanking all morning. Okay, I'll put it on this side. There's a cowbell. My sign for what I'm preparing for, you guys already know, don't you? Clapper. Oh, what am I getting ready for? Oh, one more. I've got my foam finger. It's blue, for those of you who are not here. Yeah! What am I ready for? What have I prepared for? Winnipeg? Yeah, they're all cheering for Winnipeg. This one's not blue. Somebody covered it with green. Anyone, what am I ready for? A game. Yeah, let's go to the football game. Oh, that's not what the sign says. I was getting ready to move to a new house. You know, you got to do lots of preparation if you're moving to a new house. That's what I'm doing. Okay, last one, super easy. Got my sign, just in case. Sugar, I got a bag of sugar. Measuring cup, mixing bowl, put that together. Oh, I've got, well, that's the French side. Flour, there's still some flour in there. That was from Rollkuchen this summer. Mixer. Okay, in case you haven't guessed it yet, what am I ready for?
Baking.
Grace says I'm ready for baking. And it looks like it. Oh, now that's interesting. I was getting ready for a crokinole tournament. I had my sugar and my flour and my everything. Now, obviously, this is ludicrous, and it's so clear that that is not how you prepare for those events. That's just a way of reminding ourselves. If I know what my goal is, what is it that I want to get to? What am I preparing for? That determines the steps I take in preparation. That is what determines the steps I take. So just in case you didn't have enough football this year, and I know I didn't, and Grey Cup Sunday just passed with no game, no hoopla, no celebration. So let's just, I have a few questions, and I think you would probably be able to get them, even if you're not a football fan. Since we are expected to be receivers during this season of Advent, as Christmas approaches, we prepare to receive the baby, to receive Christ. What do receivers do? So if you think about football, what do football receivers do? Catch the ball. Very good. I think that was Mary Hamm, but I'm not sure. It's really hard to tell because everyone is wearing masks, which is perfect. Do receivers stand around like this, arms crossed? Waiting. Is this what a receiver looks like? No. No is the answer, right? And Doreen is opening wide her arms. This is how receivers wait to receive, with open arms, open hands, hands of readiness. Where do receivers face? What are you looking at when you are getting ready to receive something? It might not be football. If you're ready to receive anything, where's your face? Am I busy doing other stuff? No. I look up. I look towards the one who is going to give. I am watching, waiting, expecting. I give my attention to the sender. Now, there are always, in a football game, there are always other distractions around. It's called the opposition. And they will come and try to jump you, or they'll make all sorts of motions. Even the crowd, the cheering crowd, tries to distract certain players so they cannot receive what is being sent. Same true in our lives. There are distractions out there to take our attention away so we will not be focused on the one who is sending the gift to us. You can't be distracted. You can't let others interfere. Your focus, your attention, everything in your being is looking at the one sending you. And the last thing, which you might be surprised about, is you gotta hustle. You gotta hustle. You gotta move. This Advent, we're talking about moving along this road. We are traveling along this road. We are in motion. The waiting includes motion. Think about the football game. Where is the receiver? Is the receiver standing there beside the quarterback, just waiting and pointing to the rest of the team, go, go, go? Of course not. The receiver is the one who goes and runs to the other end, running, hustling, moving, getting rid of distractions, and facing the one who is sending. Send it to me to receive. That is the picture I want us to come towards readiness on this road with. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah. Isaiah is after Psalms and Proverbs. Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9. As we are getting ready, as we are preparing for receiving the Christ child, we need to come with urgent longing. That's a requirement. When I'm going to bake cookies for Christmas, there are those who have an urgent longing to eat those cookies. If I'm going to prepare to go to a football game, I have urgent longing to be a winner in that game. If I am going to go and enjoy the sun, I have urgent longing for clear, bright, sunny skies. If we are here preparing for Advent, we need to come with urgent longing to experience the presence of God. I'll read Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil. When I read that, I remembered going camping this summer, trying to start a fire. Laughable. Until you get the brushwood, until you get the little bits and pieces, and you get one match, and those tiny little sticks and bits, and it just poof, and you suddenly have fire. That's what this is speaking about. When you come down, and it's like when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire then causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. Imagine if the whole world knew God. When you did awesome deeds that we didn't expect, you came down the mountain and the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. like no other. This is our God. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourselves, we transgressed. We've all become like one who's unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There's no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you've hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, oh Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We're all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord. Do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This intense, urgent longing to have God closer, not far away in the heavens, to have God active, doing something. I want to see God again at work. I hear the stories, I hear other people's testimonies. Where are you? And perhaps it is our own sin that has caused the distance, the separation. But don't stop on the road with regret. Don't stop along this pathway halfway and say, oh, I don't have the longing for God, or I have sinned, or I remember the good old days when I felt close to God. Don't stay there. Don't stop there. Keep moving. Hold this tension of longing and waiting. Hold it together with moving. Move towards the God that you long for. And perhaps you say, I have no longing for God. Recognition is wonderful. It's amazing. This is the Holy Spirit awakening our souls, reminding us, hey, you've become calloused or unfeeling. And you say, thank you, God, for reminding me. That's all we do. Bring it to him. Don't stop on the road. Don't turn off of the road. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13, the second Advent passage. Mark 13, verses 24 to 37. I often avoid Mark because it's just a little bit too abrupt, and some of these passages are hard to deal with. But we're just going to look it right in the face. Verse 24, but in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. I remember when we were teenagers, and there was a time when there was a lot of talk about the tribulation. And are we going to be saved, and are we going to go to heaven before or after the tribulation? There was lots of discussion about pre-trib and post-trib. And it scared the living daylights out of so many people. What is going to happen to us? And we read these passages, and you see the sun will be darkened. It's even scary and eerie when there's just an eclipse, even just a partial eclipse. That was just a couple of years ago here. How many of you watched that eclipse? Nobody? Oh yeah, there are a few hands here. Yeah, I watched it. And it didn't get totally dark, but it got creepy and silent. When things that large and beyond us happen, we recognize that we are no longer in control. And here is the prophecy of what is going to happen with our earth, and we will not be in control. Verse 26, then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. These things will happen. They will be far beyond us, beyond our control. But verse 28 says, from the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. These things will happen, and we will not have control of them. But is this sustainable? If we know these things are going to happen. The sun is going to be darkened. Things are going to fall from places they weren't meant to fall from. Everything, the world is going to collapse. The world will pass away. But Jesus' words will not pass away. How do we sustain this? How do we live with this? Well, some live with it by denying it. Just pretend, that's silly. That was an old-fashioned kind of prophecy. Don't worry about it. Some people live with it by just ignoring it. Yeah, maybe that's true, but I'll just live my daily life. These words are written for something. There's got to be some use here. And it says this generation won't pass away until all these things have taken place. Well, what's a generation? When is this going to happen? How many generations haven't come and gone? How many pastors and preachers and evangelists haven't you heard preaching about this? Saying, now is the time. Look at all the things that are happening. Now is going to be the time. We must be in the end times. You can't live with that kind of tension, thinking, oh, it's now, it's now, it's now. And every time there is a storm, you think, aha, it's the end times, it's the end times. That's not sustainable. It's too much. And when you try to sustain that, you just get weary and you give up and say, ah, it's never going to happen. That's not the response. Jesus says, my words will not pass away. What are we supposed to take out of this then? Let's keep reading. But about that day or hour, no one knows. No one knows. So as soon as you hear someone who says they know, stop listening. Because no one knows. No one knows, not the angels, nor the Son, but only the Father. What is our task? Beware, keep alert. Beware of those people who say they know, people who want to distract you by giving you false information. Distracted by every little thing, every big thing that is happening around the world. Distractions. Remember what we are preparing for. For you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey. Oh, we've heard this story before. I know where this is going. A man going on a journey, and when he leaves home, he puts his slaves in charge, each with his work. He doesn't ask the slaves to keep looking at the fig tree, look at the sky, beware, be careful, oh, look out, look out, look out. You'll give yourself a heart attack if you live that way. The master that goes on the journey gives the slaves a task. Here's some work for you to do. And he commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you don't know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or midnight, or a cock crow, or at dawn, we don't know. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This does not mean that the man who went on the journey and he gave jobs to the slaves, that they were supposed to work 24 hours. This does not mean that you're supposed to wear yourself out, always working, 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 keeping busy. I think our generation is expert at that. Never stop. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep trying. This is not sustainable. Jesus said, keep awake, keep alert, recognize you've been given a job. It might take a long time, but these things, his coming, is going to happen. Keep at your task. This is a marathon, not a 50-meter dash. Didn't you hear that at the beginning of the COVID? In March, maybe in April, they started to say, this is going to be a marathon. It's not going to be just a quick jog somewhere. We need to learn how to have strength to last, to sustain. These things are going to happen. Jesus is going to come. Heaven and earth will pass away, and it will be bigger than us. But we don't know when. We'll see clues, but we don't have any answers. The mystery is still there. So our task is to continue the work that the Master has given us to do. Don't get distracted, don't give up, don't fade away before the time. Simply keep at the work he has given us to do, and you'll say, oh, but it's taking so long. Each time new restrictions come with COVID, people ask me, is this forever? And of course I say, no, it's not forever. But we don't know how long. And because we don't know how long, and we know we are human, we need encouragement. We need strength. So turn to the first letter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. While we are waiting with this urgent longing, we are also gaining. Not losing in the waiting. We are gaining in the waiting. I'll read verse 3 to 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you've been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are gaining in our waiting. Verse 4, there is grace in the waiting. The grace of God given to you. We are enriched in the waiting, verse 5. for in every way you've been enriched in him. You're not getting worse. You're not getting weaker. You're not becoming less. We're becoming more and more as we wait. Amen. We don't have to think we're just going to fade away and drop out of the race. Here's the encouragement. There's grace in the waiting. We are enriched in the waiting. And look at verse 6. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you. Our testimony is enriched and strengthened in the waiting. Because it doesn't happen today. It didn't happen yesterday. It doesn't weaken our testimony. It strengthens it. We are strengthened in our testimony in the waiting. Finally, verse 9, God is faithful. God is faithful. He will strengthen you to the end. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we never need to cry out, I wasn't ready. Right here, right now, God is faithful, keeping us ready for that day and that time. Amen. In response, we are going to sing hymn number 195. 195. It came upon a midnight clear. We're singing verse 1 and 4. And before we start to sing, let's just look at verse 4. You beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Please rise as we'll sing together. Please bow for the benediction. People of God, people on the road, keep alert, keep awake. The Lord is coming. Let's get ready. Amen.